have joined them. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
Welcome to the programme. What a beautiful day it's been in Salford. What a day it's been. Sun is shining, glorious day. Thursday's programme, May 14th, 2020. I am indeed Richie Allen. Flying solo today. I've had an absolutely crazy day with personal business to attend to. Very lucky, in fact, to get on air. So it's going to be a different type of programme today than you're used to, but at least I'm here. You're there as well. Twitter, it's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I look forward to hearing from you. And I'll be reading your tweets out as we go along. Welcome to the programme as usual.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, it's had one of those days. A lot of domestic things to do. I had to go to the vet. That took a couple of hours. There were other things as well. And it's just been a bit mad. But I'm glad to be with you. I think I can relax now with you as we go through the... Well, we navigate the minefield that is the UK mass media and its approach to reporting on COVID-19. It is Thursday's Richie Allen Radio Show. And this one probably won't be on YouTube later on. Not because of the fact that YouTube deleted one of the program's videos today. I don't care about that. But because there will be more music in this program than you would ever expect to hear on any one of my programs. So I don't think I'll be putting it on YouTube. More on the video deletion in a minute, but I want to state from the outset, I am not a martyr. The elite is not terrified of me. I am not important. Vast amounts of people are finding their content being deleted and their channels being deleted, not only by YouTube, but people are having websites interfered with, Twitter accounts deleted, Facebook accounts deleted. And some of those people have great, great numbers of followers. Others don't. It doesn't really matter. It's not about me. But I'll tell you briefly about it in a minute because it is interesting. Anywho, coming up for 5.5 minutes past the hour, do get in touch through the medium of Twitter. I look forward to hearing from you. I really do. Hey, by the way, today being May 14th, this won't mean a thing to you. But it's a big day for me and the oft-mentioned better half. Because it was this day last year, it was a Tuesday last year in 2019, that we got the keys to this house. Richie Allen Show Towers, where I'm talking to you from now. A milestone, really, for us. And it's been a very quick year, really. Can't believe how quickly it's gone. It's flown by. I suppose that's the way of it for anybody who moves into a new house and has to do as much as we had to do. Things just fly by, so there's a year gone in the blink of an eye. Absolutely mad day today. Very little time to properly prepare the programme. In fact, I had about an hour. I got to studio at around about 4 o'clock. So very little time to grab any audio or to do anything. So it's a bit of a hybrid show today. Let's just chill out, me and thee. Me and you. Let's just relax. Relax. For an hour or an hour and a half. An alternative show today. Here's what happened this morning. Now, I'm not embellishing this in the least. In the least, I tells you. I took Jazz to the vet this morning. Jazz is my hour. Well, she isn't ours. She shares this life with us. You don't have ownership of your dog. No, they are your companions. They are your... But legally, of course. Legally. Governments expect somebody to be responsible for our four-legged feckin' friends. So Jazz has been leaking pretty badly out of her left eye. Conjunctivitis, no doubt. But we had to get the vet appointment anyway. Utterly bizarre this morning. I came as close, I think, as I've done in a long time to properly losing my excrement. My shit. You know when you just melt down? The last time I melted down was in Tesco on the very first Sunday after the lockdown, when blue rinse women and old men were running around the aisles, 55 packets of fucking toilet roll in their left hand and an inhaler in their right hand, puffing away on it, lest they collapse on the floor without a breath in their lungs. It was madness. Lunacy. And I lost my temper and I had a few things to say, but I didn't get kicked out. So I arrived at the vet's this morning, which is based at a national pet store, right? You're guessing which one it is, right? It's a veterinary service, which is based in conjunction, well, it works in conjunction with a national pet store, pet food store, right? The door was locked. Now, I knew that was going to be the case because last time I went to get food there for the dogs, a couple of weeks ago, the door was locked. And a woman opened the door and I went in. She locked it behind me, got the dog food and I left. It was locked this morning. Woman opens the door. Yes, I'm here for the vets, says I. Okay, she says, ring them and say that you are outside. They'll come down and get you. What's that now, says I? Ring them? Yes, phone them, she says, to announce that you're here outside. The car park. I said, they're just over your shoulder there, love. Just give them a wave. There's nobody in there. And there's a waiting area there. There's nobody there either. No, she said, and closed the door. So I rang the vets from 15 metres away. Brrr, hello, the vets. I'm here, says I. We'll be down in a minute, says she. Fucking hell, thinks I. What's going on? So down this woman comes, masked and gloved up to the tits. No germs getting in anywhere. No chance. She could survive Ebola, this woman. And she starts asking me questions about the dog out in the street. Hang on, says I. Why are we doing this here? Why don't we just go inside? Well, you won't be going in, she says. I'll be taking the dog in. You'll be waiting outside. What, says I? The dog is very nervous, you know. Very nervous. Doesn't like men. And I believe it's a man on duty today. I'll need to be with her. We'll take that risk, says she. Very matronly-like. Taking no shit from the BBG, was she. And she walked back in and locked me outside like a fucking idiot. So I'm standing there. What's going on? Approximately 7 minutes and 36, 6 seconds, I think it was 36 seconds later, she returns with jazz. Conjunctivitis, says she. I know, says I. I've had dogs all my own life, you see. You don't need to be 30 grand in debt with a framed degree on your wall to know that it's conjunctivitis, love. Wait here, she says, and the vet will ring you. You're shitting me, says I. No, says she, stay there and the vet will ring you in a few minutes. She fecks off, locks the door behind me. I'm looking at Jazz. Jazz is looking at me, standing in the middle of the street outside the vet's. Thankfully, it was sunny. I says, Jazz, what the fuck? Fucked if I know, says Jazz. Phone rings. I answer it. Hello, BBG. It's the vet, he says, in an unmistakable Spanish accent. She has conjunctivitis, he says. If someone else has conjunctivitis, says I, I'll fucking shoot him. I know, says I. Good, he says. Some drops will be out shortly. One drop in each eye twice or three times a day. Twice or three times a day, says I. Make your mind up, which is it, twice or three times? That doesn't matter, he says, two or three times. I'll pass you to the receptionist now, he says. With me standing outside like a feckin' idiot. Receptionist comes on. That'll be £61, please. Right, says I, I'll be in with me card. No, you won't. Give me the long number, the expiry date, and the last three digits on the back. Mother of Christ, says I. Face getting redder, going full fucking gammon. Entire body flushing pink. Every blood cell in me body working like the clappers. To redden my frame. So I was standing there, every word of this is true. Read out the card number from the street, the expiry date, the 3 digits on the back. Okay, that's gone through, she says. The nurse will be out in a minute with the medicine. Several minutes later, I swear to God, no effing nurse with the medicine. Fuck this, says I. Put Jazz in the car, knocked on the door of the dog food chain again with the vets down the back. Yes, says the gormless young woman guarding the door. I'm just getting some dog food, says I. No problem, she says. So down I walk then to the back where the vets are, and I said, where the fuck are my eye drops? Where's my eye drops? We're living in the Twilight Zone. Welcome to the Richie Allen Show. Nice to be with you. This is music from Pussycat, Thursday's program, May 14th. Love this tune. Music from Pussycat, Mississippi on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Thursday's beautiful, beautiful weather in Salford. Here in Greater Manchester, it's absolutely glorious. Let's hope that continues. We could do with a bit of that. My day did brighten up, though. Again, another absolutely true story. Doesn't happen often, this. I met a woman in local playing fields to us, playing fields very near where we live, last week. Met her briefly. She was with a bulldog. Didn't say much, just how you doing, lovely, not too bad. Was there this afternoon. Running late because I've been running around today. Nice big empty field. Nobody else there except this lady with her bulldog. A delightful little creature now indeed. And the bulldog ran around playing with our dogs. And I got talking to the lady. And it turns out she's a retired nurse. And she was... I love how people are very quick to volunteer things about themselves. Especially a certain generation. And they're not doing so in any narcissistic way. They're looking for conversation. And they'll give a bit of information. They'll give a bit to get a bit. This lovely lady said to me, I'm retired, she said. I'm 70 now. I worked at Salford Royal. So I said, what do you make of what's been going on lately? With what's been happening lately, says me. And she said, don't get me started. She said, I've been arguing with my sisters. Which I thought was funny. And I said, what do you mean you've been arguing with your sisters? And she says, well, I'm one of 16 brothers and sisters. Wow. Right? And 3 of them have sadly passed away, but there's 13 of us left of the 16. Amazing. There was nothing on the telly back then. That's the long-held suspicion, isn't it? That's what we think when we look back. Because we've all got families, or we know people, especially the Irish. With 12 kids, 13 kids, and we always say that old joke, you know, nothing on the telly back then. Nothing to do, really. So 13 of us, she said, and we've got our own family WhatsApp group. I was amused by this. I said, that's nice. Bit of a WhatsApp group. I left the group this morning, she said. There was a bit of a falling out. I said, why? And she said, well, 2 of me sisters won't shut up about Bill Gates this and Bill Gates that. And the virus is man-made and depopulation and Richie Allen, she said. What, says I? Richie Allen, she says. Who's he, says I? That's some radio thing they listen to, she says. All right, says I. And said no more. So she said, what really annoys me about these conspiracy theorists, she says. And then she had a bit of a point. She said they're incredibly dogmatic. They don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. And I said, well, that's been my experience, I said, because I would share some of your sister's suspicions about Bill Gates and his influence in medicine and academia here. And I also wonder about the virus and what it is and all of that. But I said, I hear you. People get entrenched in their point of view and they don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. And she said, well, I think it's particularly acute, she said. And that was the word she used when it comes to conspiracy theorists. Right, says I. You heard any of these radio programs yourself, says I, that your sisters listen to? No, she said. Give them a listen, says I. I said, you never know until you listen yourself. I said, you know, you can't on the one hand accuse them of being dogmatic, but you don't take a listen yourself. But a nice lady. I said, I'll see you same time tomorrow then. Same time tomorrow. True story. Right, the YouTube deletion thing. When I interviewed Piers Corbyn the other evening, I played a snippet of Chris Whitty's appearance at the COVID briefing in London on Monday, at Westminster or at number 10 Downing Street on Monday. And I played it in its, not the entire briefing, but just one very important bit where Whitty was basically categorising the virus. And it was hugely interesting, of course. And I played it for Piers Corbyn and he gave a 45, 50 second analysis of what we just heard. So I took it out and put it on to the YouTube channel. And I had a feeling it would be deleted. Excuse me. And it was. And I don't care about that. I have no interest in Google or YouTube. And like I said before, I am not being specifically targeted. The elite doesn't give a shite about me individually. No martyrdom here. You'll never get that nonsense from me. None of that truth or industrial complex crap, right? Lots of people are being deplatformed with big followings and small followings, as I said earlier on. So they deleted it, and that's fair enough. It won't be too long before my YouTube channel will be deleted for the second time. I will breathe a huge sigh of relief then, because I hate it. I despise everything about it. And I upload out of habit and because people have asked me to keep doing it. But it's an hour and a half out of my way every evening after I've spent 12 to 13 hours preparing the radio show. So I don't need to do it. There's nothing in it for me. And I don't mean financially. I hate it. So when they do delete this particular channel, you won't hear me complaining about it. No, no. I won't be looking for any sympathy. I'll be saying, Anyway, here's the clip. Here's Chris Whitty from Monday. It's only 80 seconds long or thereabouts, but it's very important what Whitty says because new figures have been released this afternoon, would you believe? Figures of, well, a survey has taken place to determine, no, let's get this right now. Based on the testing that the UK government has been able to do so far. Now, by testing, you will remember Matt Hancock saying, we will get 100,000 tests a day done. And then he didn't meet his deadline for that. But then they managed to get at least 100,000 tests a day. So they've been testing a lot of people to see if they do have or have had the virus. Do have, really. Looking to find out who has it. And they've taken those figures. And we'll hear about those figures in a second. In the meantime, here's what Chris Whitty said on Monday in London. He was standing alongside Patrick Vallance, another Bill Gates man, and the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And this basically gives the entire game away.
Certainly I have tried, and Patrick has tried right from the beginning, to balance two things. The seriousness of this virus as an epidemic, and it clearly is a very serious epidemic. But equally, the fact that actually the great majority of people will not die from this. And I'll just repeat something I said right at the beginning, because I think it's worth reinforcing. Most people, a significant proportion of people will not get this virus at all, at any point in the epidemic, which is going to go on for a long period of time. Of those who do, some of them will get the virus without even knowing it. They will have the virus with no symptoms at all, asymptomatic carriage, and we know that happens. Of those who get symptoms, the great majority, probably 80%, will have a mild or moderate disease, might be bad enough for them to have to go to bed for a few days, not bad enough for them to have to go to the doctor. An unfortunate minority will have to go as far as hospital, but the majority of those will just need oxygen and will then leave hospital. And then a minority of those will end up having to go to severe and critical care, and some of those, sadly, will die. But that's a minority. It's 1% or possibly even less than 1% overall. And even in the highest risk group, this is significantly less than 20%, i.e. the great majority of people, even the very highest groups, if they catch this virus, will not die.
What Whitty said there on Monday, and this is how I characterised it, was that basically coronavirus is essentially fairly harmless. It could be dangerous for people with chronic illnesses and people in care homes, again with chronic illnesses, the very, very elderly and the very infirm. And I said to you on Tuesday, because we listened to this on Tuesday, and I hope you remember me saying this, I said, I wonder if Whitty is preparing to jump ship. Now, I didn't know that this study, this survey of households would be published today. And this is absolutely, this is, it's not shocking to me. I don't think it'll be shocking to you. But every man and woman in the country who has swallowed this coronavirus bullshit, hook, line and sinker, need to listen now, not to me, listen to the BBC. Here we go. The BBC reports this afternoon, 1 in 400 people in England has coronavirus. After a survey of 11,000 people in households. Now, these 11,000 people were asked to carry out swab tests over the 2 weeks up to the 10th of May. This indicates, and this is going to make you sick, it's probably going to make you incandescent with rage, but listen before you boil your piss. This indicates about 148,000 people in England could be currently infected. 148,000. 148,000. So you're talking about 0.027% of the population. 0.027% of the population. 0.02%, I know I'm not a mathematician, of the country has coronavirus. And the Daily Mail has rounded the figures up a bit this afternoon. And the Mail reckons that around about, where the BBC says about 148,000 has coronavirus, the Daily Mail is saying that they think it might be around 220,000. My God. And that's why I didn't know this survey was coming out. But when Whitty was downgrading coronavirus in the press conference on Monday, it occurred to me that Whitty was about to jump off the ship. Because these results this afternoon should be headline news in every newspaper in Europe tomorrow morning. The government should be running back to their offices to instruct civil servants, to instruct the captains of industry in the country, to instruct the schools and the universities that the whole thing was a load of bollocks. We need to get people back to work. This is absolutely sickening. And yet, if you look at these stories which have emerged this afternoon, as of yet, there's been no analysis. Now, I've been on air with you for a half an hour. The Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps, is leading the COVID briefing this afternoon. It began at 5 o'clock, I believe. You would imagine in any real, you know, in any fair world, in any decent world, that the journalists present via video link this afternoon would be tearing a new arsehole for Grant Shapps to say, what the hell is going on? Why have you done immeasurable damage to the economy? When now we find out that maybe 1 in every 400 people has even gotten the virus. And if you think about that 1 in 400 who have gotten the virus, that doesn't mean that 1 in 400 people have been very sick. You see, you've got to extrapolate this. Extrapolate. Not exterminate, extrapolate. And think about it. Of the 1 in 400, most of them will have had no feckin' symptoms. You see? Are you with me? There will be the hangers-on, of course, who will say, well, of course, it's down to the fact that we had the lockdown. That's why. But, of course, that's nonsense. They've admitted themselves that you're better off outdoors, out in the open air, than you are being indoors. It's healthier for you to be outdoors and doing what it is you normally do. So that's the big news this afternoon. Broke around about an hour ago. 1 in 400 people. Around about 148,000 people in England might be currently infected. That's un-feckin' believable. Imagine what they've put people through. And if you listen to the news at the beginning of the programme, you would have heard mental health problems, domestic violence, suicide, businesses going to the wall, people being locked up in care homes. All of that for something that, as Chris Whitty said in his own words on Monday, hardly affects anybody at all. Hardly affects anybody at all. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. I'm live in Salford right now on Thursday afternoon. And I hope you're well. Well, I know you're well. I know you don't have coronavirus. This is the Doobie Brothers. Ah, the Doobie Brothers. Listen to the music on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Liz Jones loves a bit of the Doobies. How you doing, Liz? The future, oft-mentioned future Mrs. A and myself, about 3 winters ago, the Doobies were at the Apollo in Manchester. And God forgive me. God forgive me. We thought about not going. It was one of them. And we'd never seen the Doobies. We thought, despite the fact that we would quite often stick on Doobies records and the greatest hits, you know. But thanks be to, to himself. We did go, and it was an amazing night at the Apollo 02. Brilliant. If they ever come back to Manchester, I'll be there in a heartbeat. David Stanford says, Richie, it begs the question, what has gone on behind the scenes to promote the 180, he says. As one group of the cabal gets closer to control, the infighting takes them further from their goal. That's David on Twitter. Cheers, David. I appreciate that. Hi to Dean Smith. How you doing, Dean? Can somebody explain to me, says Dean, people wearing masks in their cars on their own. That's right. Yes, the mind boggles. Yes. The mind boggles. Base Ninja says, how you doing, Base Ninja? Richie, my neighbour died last week. Spoke to his wife about an hour ago. The Royal Hospital have told her they put COVID as cause of death. To quote her, I told them I am not having any of that effing crap. She reckons it's obviously cancer, but probably sepsis. Her words. The gentleman, God rest him, had cancer. The wife thinks it might be sepsis, but they're putting COVID onto death certain. And we know this is true. This isn't a conspiracy theory. They've been told at hospitals up and down the country, if there's any suspicion of coronavirus, you are to list it on the death certificate. This is the problem, you see. 1 in 400 people, says the BBC today. 11,000 households surveyed. How many of those... First of all, I go back. That 1 out of 400 probably didn't die. Probably had no symptoms. You've got to take all of those ones from every group of 400 and analyse them separately. Then you find out the virus is pretty harmless. Good morning. Good afternoon to Gail. Hi to Charlie. Hi to Susan. How you doing, Susan? To Ruby Dragon there. Hi to Patrick Vidian. Beautiful weather, I think, in the northwest. I'm not sure about the rest of the country. Hi to John Parsons. How you doing, John? Good friend of mine, living in Salford as well. He's been here longer than I have. Nice to be with you. Nice to have you on board today, John. Right, I'm going to move on swiftly. And hi to Mad Monk. Mad Monk says, Richie, did you just play one of my favourite tunes, Pussycat Mississippi? Wow, I thought I was the only one who remembered that great song. Love you, mate, says Mad Monk. Love you too, pal. Lovely bit of music. John Parsons, better half, Margaret. Lovely lady. Loves a bit of country. Loves a bit of American country. So when they pop around for a pint, when we breach lockdown, we like to stick on a bit of American country music. Love it, love it, love it. Right, we're moving on swiftly. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. So you've gotten it right. Right, 1 in 400, 148,000 in England in total with coronavirus. Eh? Right, okay. Greta Thunberg is in the news. Oh, Greta. We speculated last week, didn't we? You and me. We said Greta must be properly cheesed off now. Not much limelight going on at the moment on account of the old coronavirus. Well, she's back in the news as Greta because CNN have asked her to take part in a discussion. Listen, I keep forgetting to do it. There can be no talk of Greta without this very expensive jingle that was made at the studios of Industrial Light and Magic. George Lucas himself made this up for the BBG.
They sweep their mess under the carpet for our generation to clean up and solve.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams, my childhood, with your empty words. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. How dare you?
A mass extinction? Well, Greta's back in the news, the little bollocks. She's back in the news because CNN announced last night their lineup. CNN is running a regular series of programs called Coronavirus Facts and Fears Town Hall. That's what it is. And it's hosted by Anderson Cooper. And when it airs, which is on Thursdays, it has experts who talk about the disease. But they've invited Greta, much to the amusement of the Twitterati. Greta's been invited. So tonight's programme will see Anderson Cooper and CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta speaking with the former Centres for Disease Control and Prevention director Richard Besser, Kathleen Sebelius, who's a former Health and Human Services secretary, and Greta Thunberg.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Exactly. What's Greta bringing to the table? In fact, on Twitter this afternoon, Greta has been screaming at her critics, saying, I never said I was an expert. How dare you? I never said I was an expert. How dare you? So she's just on there. Of course, we know why they've invited her on, to give her the opportunity to say how positive the lockdown has been for our planet and what can we learn from our lockdown going forward, and which aspects of the lockdown do we need to keep to save the birds and the bees and stop the planet warming and all of that. That's what's going on. It is exactly 18, well, it's 17 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Different type of Richie Allen radio show today. Wasn't, again, thanks to George Lucas there at ILM for the jingle. Better than anything he ever did on Star Wars, I tells you. And I'm going to stop banging me effing head off the microphone. Jesus wept. This is lovely. Bobby Gentry on The Richie Allen Show. It wasn't there. Yes. Ode to Billy Joe from Bobby Gentry on The Richie Allen Show. You're right, Liz, there on Twitter. You're right, Liz. Not the most uplifting tune of all time. But I told you, it's a more chilled and relaxed BBG this afternoon. If you're coming in late on the programme, I had no chance to prepare anything. Let alone organise guests. No chance. It was one of those days. I had lots to do personally. The dog had to go to the vet. I mentioned that earlier on. If there was a bridge, by the way, nearby this morning when I was stood outside the vets like an idiot, I think I might have jumped off it. Here's an interesting story in the Telegraph today. It mightn't be in the Telegraph today. It might be in the Telegraph tomorrow. Such is the way of the world now with websites that quite often you'll get tomorrow's paper on the website today, if you see what I mean. Of course, you have to pay for the Telegraph Online and the Times Online, which the programme does. We pay for those newspapers. There's vending machines are coming to a town near you soon. And they won't be selling condoms. They won't be selling cigarettes. They certainly won't be selling all sorts of crappy snacks and crisps and soft drinks. They're going to be selling oxygen masks. No, they're not, you BBG. They're going to be selling face masks, effectively. And the first one of these launched in Essex very, very recently. So if you're in Essex in Chigwell, now if I'm not mistaken, Is Ronnie O'Sullivan the Rocket? The greatest player ever to pick up a snooker cue? Is Ronnie from Chigwell in Essex? I think he might be. Great, great player, Ronnie. In Essex, in Chigwell, there's a convenience store known as the Mace Convenience Store. And there, as well as picking up your bread, your milk, your eggs and your lubricant, I bet you there's a lot of lubricant being sold during the lockdown. I wonder, will there be a baby boom after the lockdown, as we saw after the Great Wars? I wonder, will there be loads of babies everywhere in the next year, late winter, yeah, loads of babies. Massive strain on the NHS next year. Babies will be enemy. Public enemy number one will be babies. That's right, babies. We're at war with babies. So, Chigwell, Mace Convenience Store, the very first Vendamask machines. Now, these machines are fairly common in other parts of the world, in the Far East, of course. China and places like that. But they'll be rolled out all over the country now, the Vendamask. And each machine can hold about 180 masks. But according to the operator, a guy called Adam Freeman, he says that his machine in Essex has to be stocked up several times a day. Such is the demand. Because feckin' Egypts. God love them. They're perplexed. Are desperate to get face masks. Even though you have Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer, telling you on Monday that the virus is basically ain't nothing but a thing. That virus ain't nothing but a thing. Nothing. You have the media today telling you maybe only 148,000 people in the country actually has the feckin' thing. People won't listen. They won't listen. They'll go to their vending machine and they'll get their masks. Lovely. Lovely. Tell you what makes me laugh about the media. If you're a radio presenter or television presenter and you have a doctor on or somebody who's an expert in infectious diseases, don't dare ask them about ending the lockdown as it happens. You know, we're seeing all this information coming out now that the virus ain't nothing but a thing. So as a consequence, radio presenters are inclined to want to ask so-called experts, why don't we end the lockdown? Mike Graham presents for Talk Radio. He had a guy on today called Bharat Pankanya, who is an infectious disease expert of some type or another. Graham asks him about, well, easing or ending the lockdown. Have a listen.
What is your view of how this pandemic is kind of flattening out, how it's going? Because it would seem as though we're sort of on the downward curve, if you like, of infection, and we are getting lower numbers as time goes by. Would you expect that to continue?
I was hoping that that the trend downwards will continue. However, with a high level of background new cases that we've always had, this is about 3,000 new cases. That's quite a lot. And then we lift the shutdown, we may generate more cases.
Yeah.
Therefore, we may have an increase in number of cases in the next month.
Okay. And that would be for what reason?
Because we've started to recirculate, you see. There was a background level of virus already circulating in the community.
Geez.
And then we started to mingle in that community. And as a result, people will pick up the infection, generate cases, and then the case numbers will go up.
Okay. And is that something to be alarmed about, or should we accept a certain level of that increase?
No. We have to be very alarmed about it because... Because you could generate...
Should we accept a certain level of increase and just get on with our lives, said Mike Graham. Go back to work before even more people become permanently unemployed, you know?
That increase.
No. We have to be very alarmed about it because you could...
We have to be very alarmed.
...could generate a huge second spike.
Mm.
So careful watchfulness and...
Careful watchfulness now.
And recording of the data and monitoring is very important because, as I say, we could create a big new pulse in a month's time.
We could do this and we may do this, and if we did this and if we did that, and if my auntie had bollocks, she'd be my uncle. I think that interview was conducted before the breaking news that after 11,000 households were surveyed, basically only one in 400 people has coronavirus. I'd love to haul that doctor back onto the programme. By the scrotum, not by the hand. Careful watchfulness and all of these buzzwords, eh? 6.5 minutes to the top of the hour. If you're just tuning in, this is the Richie Allen Radio Show, but not as you know it. Kind of chilling out there with you today on a beautiful, beautiful spring afternoon in the great city of Salford. Yes, indeed. What else have I got for you? Well, they're talking about new antibody tests. These might become completely obsolete now. They're spending tens and tens of millions on antibody tests. Now they're finding out that hardly anybody has coronavirus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, eh? What are we going to do? Because no matter what they hear, even when the mainstream media tells the truth and gives them the full picture, which it does sometimes, as it is doing today, people will still lock themselves down, will still wear the face mask, will still swear at somebody who's getting a bit too close to them in aisle 3 in their local supermarket. It's mad. It's mad, I tell you. What about the Track and Trace app? This made me giggle today. Of course, they want us all to download this Track and Trace app. Don't worry about it. It's for your good. Download an app to your phone. Turn your Bluetooth on. Leave it on permanently. And we will alert you if you have come up against somebody who's got the old coronavirus. We will then send you a message telling you to get your arse indoors and quarantine. Don't worry about it though. It's all happy day. It's all good. And today in the UK media, as best as I could understand, because I didn't get to listen to as much as I normally would, but they were rolling out people to say, hey, listen, don't worry about your privacy. Don't worry about your privacy. Not at all. Not at all, at all, at all, at all. Your privacy is no big deal at all. So do leave your Bluetooth turned on and do wander around with your phone exposed. It'll be okay. Here's EU Commission's, the EU Commission's Margrethe Vestager. Margrethe Vestager of the European Union Commission. Don't worry a damn thing about it.
I would not accept that there is a choice between health and precaution and taking care of others and privacy and also in that respect taking care of myself and others. Because these apps can be constructed in ways that allows us a great degree of privacy. Data being stored, for instance, on my phone, that it's not my localization, that can be followed, that it's Bluetooth technology, and of course that it is voluntary, and that not more data is exchanged than absolutely necessary, because this is the only way I will trust it.
Yeah, and if I trust it, you should trust it. Don't worry about it. It's all hunky-dory. Natalie Stacey, longtime friend of ours. How you doing, Natalie, this afternoon? She's a tech expert. Natalie says the Bluetooth link won't last long because it kills the battery, she said. Good stuff, Natalie. Hi to John Smith. Hi to Kelly, who's listening to this programme in Ballya Ochlea. How you doing, Kelly? Whatever happened to flattening the curve, she says, months later and we're still in lockdown. Of course, things are particularly nasty in Ireland, of course, under the stewardship of the merry old Leo Varadkar, the merry Indian himself. Yes, yes. People don't like me saying that. John Stott says, Richie, you could grab a face mask in Chigwell in Essex and then ransack the store. Commit armed robbery. Or not so armed in the case of this country. Interesting, John. Thanks for that. Thanks to Susan. Ah, thanks for your kind words, Susan. Not at all. I hate missing the programme. I think since this programme began in September of 2014, we've done 1,500 shows easy. That's not including all the live streams we've done on YouTube. We've done thousands. I don't like missing the programme. Like last Sunday morning, when I was sitting here ready to go with Sunday View, the old voice was really gone. at that stage. I didn't like me. I love doing it, not because I'm a particularly narcissistic type of guy who loves to be doing the programme, even though we all have egos, but I love having a chat with you. I genuinely do. It's the highlight of my day. So thanks for your kind words. Thank you indeed. Before I forget, let me just do this. Back in a minute with something that just made me laugh out loud today. Speaking of narcissism, I've got something to tell you in a minute that'll make you laugh out loud.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Now, welcome back to the programme. It's exactly 6 o'clock here in the UK. I think I'll be with you for another 10 or 15 minutes, or thereabouts. Thanks for staying with me. We'll have another tune. It's a different type of programme today. When we come back, I'll let you in on that little story about narcissism. It's to do with the coronavirus nonsense, so I think you'll be amused by it. Here's a little sliver of Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty. I tell you what, the tunes have been half decent this afternoon, haven't they? Haven't they, I said? Oh, yeah. It's Thursday. The Trigger Warning Boys will be live on YouTube tonight. Tell you more about that soon as well. Will it start? Yeah, Jason and David like a bit of Tom Petty, Into the Great Wide Open. Great album, that, Jason. Sounds even better on vinyl, by the way. It is 4 minutes past the hour. It is the Richie Allen Radio Show. And I've had a lovely, I'm not going anywhere just yet, I've had a lovely afternoon with you thus far. I've really enjoyed it. A part of me thought earlier on, because I don't like being unprofessional, I'm not an unprofessional person, I thought, what am I going to do? I've not got a lot to go to air with today. I got in about 4 o'clock into the studio and managed to throw together just a little bit of audio and one or two stories. But yeah, Kelly is in Cork, by the way, the Langer. All right, Kelly, you know if you're talking to a Cork woman. Give over. How you doing, Kelly? Now, what was I going to do there? Dean Smith. It would be nice to hear from Dean on this programme again. So we'll organise Dean to come on, because Dean runs a care home and he has spoken very eloquently about it on this programme, the challenges of it. He's also a bit of a mean poet as well. He's a good poet, as Dean. And I made a promise to Dean at one time that I would put a poem that he wrote on my website, and I haven't kept it, only because the website's going to be... The website is being updated and revamped, basically changed at the moment. And there will be a place on the website for things that our listeners do and write and stuff like that. Not just in the forum. The forum will always be there. So I will honour that pledge, of course. But Dean was on to me today to say, Richie, just to say that all is well in my care home. Great to hear it, Dean. Zero staff flu vaccines, and only one resident who could consent had the flu vaccine. I'm proud of that, mate, despite the NHS pressure, says Dean. Thanks for that, Dean. I really appreciate that. Steve James says, Richie, since you stopped doing the morning paper review, I've had to purchase all the tabloids again. I'm not very happy, says Steve. I don't believe you, Steve. And I'll tell you why. Because the tabloids, as it happens in the UK, believe it or not, you can read them online for free. All of them. The Star, The Sun, The Mirror, The Daily Mail, and The Express. All of them available to read online. But I know you're only jesting, Steve. I know you're only taking the piss, the pish out of me. So you don't have to pay to read the tabloids here. Oakley-dokley. This made me giggle. Ah, Jesus. This is a BBC story on the website today. The headline is Coronavirus, COVID-19 nurse in social distancing plea. COVID-19 nurse in social distancing plea. Now, you might not laugh at this. I'm crying it in here now. I'm crying it in, as they say in Liverpool. I'm crying it in because I've told you it's funny, but you might not find it funny. It amuses me because I'm amused, you see, by the under 30s, the megalomania, the narcissism, the loving of the self, but not in the good way. Not in the good way. It's important to love yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. Whitney Houston, God be with her, was right. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. But they've taken that to a new meaning. Millennials. Haven't they? Of course they have. In a negative thing. So this nurse, anyway, according to the BBC, as lockdown begins to ease in England and unlimited exercise is allowed, a nurse has pleaded with people to adhere strictly to social distancing rules. Louise Wigginton, not Wigginton, like Dane. No, Louise Wigginton is a specialist respiratory nurse working in an intensive care COVID-19 red zone in central London. What the fuck is a intensive care COVID-19 red zone? Sounds bullshit to me. Especially as we learned today that hardly anybody has COVID-19 in England, amazingly. So she works in a COVID-19 red zone. She told the BBC that she was left feeling upset and unappreciated after seeing groups of people drinking and socialising in a park outside the hospital's intensive care unit. And they quote Louise Wigginton. They were sunbathing, drinking and meeting in large groups. My colleagues and I said to one another, can they not see us up here? This was the realisation that people are already not listening to the rules. And now that lockdown is softened, it will only get worse, she said. Can they not see us up here? The superheroes of the intensive care units. So she's been left feeling depressed. It reminded me of the Love Island doctor, Alex George, who wants to make wellness rooms out of empty cupboards, the redesigned cupboards. Maybe for people like Louise, who can go in there and sit down and curse the world. This narcissist, this is going to be a big thing going forward. You know, the inability of people to be self-analytical or to be self-critical. This me thing that we're seeing more and more of. I mentioned to Gene Andy Otherborn and see Adam Curtis's his series of films, The Century of the Self. Amazing. Revelatory. Terrific stuff. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. Me. Can they not see? How dare they sit in the sun? Can they not see us up here? Well, obviously they fucking can't, love. You know? What do you make of these apples? 1 in 400 people have the virus. So I mentioned about concerts a few weeks ago. Very worried about concerts that we've got tickets for. Because I'm selfish as well, you see. Just like Louise. I'm only thinking about me. And my concerts. We've got tickets for Elton John. I know. What else have we tickets for? Jeff Lynne. Legend. Simply Red. Marvellous. But we know we won't be going. Sky News ran a feature on concerts today. And the news, as you might expect, was pretty bad. Here is Jane Secker.
The Music Royalty Collection Society, the PRS, says they don't expect live music to return until the end of the year.
That's not bad. Live music. Until the end of the year. Screw everybody else. Those concerts we've got tickets for are for the end of the year. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Don't pour cold piss on it now, Jane.
At best.
At best.
It's amid fears that the pandemic could prompt music fans to stay away from concerts where social distancing is not really possible. Well, let's speak now to the singer-songwriter Will Young. He joins us now live from Cornwall. Lovely to speak to you, Will. The next 12 months, presumably you had a lot of concerts in the pipeline. How's your next 12 months panning out?
I think I better leave right now before I fall any deeper. That's Will Young. It's the only Will Young song I know. Are you busy, Will?
Out.
Are you lovely busy? To talk to you. We met in a hairdresser's years ago. Anyway, and I can't see your...
Fucking gays are all the same, aren't they? Aren't they, John? The gays. We met in a hairdresser's. Oh, purely stereotypical. Go on.
You remembered, Will.
Well, you just told me before we went on air. No one needs to know.
There's nothing funny about this concerts being cancelled for 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it is really disappointing, you know, not just for me and people that were going to come to my gigs and lots of other people's gigs.
Me. It's disappointing not just for me. Jesus Christ, Will, get over yourself.
But, you know, that's just the way it is. The people that...
That's Bruce Hornsby, Will.
So it's dreadful. I mean, I, you know, don't have any work, live work for the rest of the year. And I had tours. I had a tour all summer and then a book tour all autumn. So that's the way it is. The people I really worry about, you know, it's not annoying pop stars like me.
Wait for it.
It's, you know, all the musicians like my band. And, you know, I really worry for them because...
He sounds very sincere.
Because that's how they, you know, earn their living.
That's how they earn their living. That's right, Will. Let's hope they do. Let's hope they're not working for free listening to your shit songs. Apart from if I'm going to leave right now before I fall any deeper or whatever. What's interesting about this exchange is what he says next. And this is a bit spooky. Because we've heard from people over the years, long before the virus, about future worlds where we would not go to concerts or go to football stadiums, but where we would put virtual reality helmets on and feel like we were there. God be with Jim Mars. Rest in peace. Jim's gotten a lot of mentions lately. One of the nicest men I ever had the pleasure of knowing. Jim used to say that. Imagine partner, he used to say to me, partner, he said, imagine in the future, don't worry about not being able to go to the stadium. Oh no! They'll be able to sell you a ticket. And on will go that helmet. And you will believe you are there. Front row. The Knicks versus the Lakers. The Miami Heat versus the Cavaliers. LeBron James. The Golden State Warriors. All these. You'll feel like you're sitting there. It'll feel like it. And he says next that... Well, he kind of hints at this.
This is a really good time for people to be discovered. I mean, I think, you know, we've got to look at the silver lining of things.
Silver lining.
And I already know of one artist that's, you know, his followers, blah, 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 have gone up by loads. And that's really important for new emerging artists. But I think, you know, the live industry for musicians is just non-existent. I don't even know. I can't even imagine when that's gonna come back.
No, and he said that people are being discovered online now, and we've seen a bunch of different pop stars and rock stars doing things online, some of them incredibly famous, some, you know, middle of the road famous, and you do see this being part of your future, right? We can't all get to the venues. We're worried about these outbreaks. We'll have COVID-20. I've said this in the last week or so. COVID-20. You'll have other pandemics. So the thing to do is get the performer performing somewhere on his own, her own, the band on their own, and get everybody else plugged into it via virtual reality headsets. Or maybe further down the road, maybe some sort of a chip or a device that you attach to the side of your head, that when you close your eyes, you'll be transported to a venue. And don't laugh at this. I remember in Spain some years ago when we lived in Spain, U2 released an incredibly impressive film. Now, you might hate Bono, and you have good reason to. I've been very critical of him as well. But they've been pioneers over the decades, U2. One of the things they did was they did the first ever immersive 3D concert film of their mid-2000s Vertigo tour. And I have to tell you, went to see it in Malaga with her indoors into an IMAX. Some of you may have seen this. And on went the wraparound glasses. And I swear to God and Sonny Jesus, you felt that you were in the middle of a crowd watching a concert and that there were people in front of you getting in your way. It was that good. It's rated to this day as the best 3D experience that's ever been put on the screen. You really felt that people in front of you were jumping up and down in your way, and they weren't. An astonishing experience, really. It was so incredible. We went back, I think, three more times to see it. I'm not ashamed to say that. It was an amazing thing. What we would do is we would bring our neighbours in the car and say, you don't like U2? Right, it doesn't matter. Come and see this thing. Amazing. And that's where they want us. Insular. Isolated. Alone. Bruce Springsteen. He won't be coming to the UK this particular year. So we'll have this immersive experience thing. You'll have the device. Everybody will have a device that will be compatible with everybody else. And he will start singing somewhere, or it'll be Madonna, or it'll be whatever. And you'll think you're there. I'm telling you, that's where we're going. And Jim Barrs used to talk to me about that way back when I was on the radio in Spain. He said, Richie, all this stuff we see in these films, it's all predictive program, and that's where it's going to be. Demolition Man. The sex between the citizens of this dystopian future that Sylvester Stallone finds himself in. That great film, Demolition Man. Wesley Snipes, brilliant actor. Sandra Bullock, an amazing actress. Great film, Demolition Man, because it's uncannily, spookily accurate, I think, in this progressively, this weird progressive Marxist, cultural Marxist type world that's unfolding in front of us, where censorship reigns and self-censorship dominates. People are terrified to say this or to say that or even to think. And there's an amazing scene when Stallone thinks he's going to have his way with Sandra Bullock. She hands him a headset. She's going to put a headset on. They're going to have sex. And that's where we're going, I think. 20 minutes past the hour. I'm going to stay with you for another 5 or 6 minutes. Then we'll take our leave of one another. Sooty says, how long before holographic, pornographic films? Yeah. The holograms, again, are very interesting. And they have evolved now to the point that they are convincing the audiences that the artist is really in the room. The most famous one in recent years has been the Roy Orbison experience, where you go and see Roy. Now again, like yourself, I have no doubt you're a big fan of Roy. What a genius, my God. What a genius. You can go and watch Roy now, and the hologram is so lifelike as to make people think it is an actor on stage. A looky-likey miming to Roy's music. It's not. It's a hologram. That's where we're going. We're going down that road. A point made by Gail on Twitter. Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booz will be live this evening from around about 11 o'clock or thereabouts with the big show. Triggerwarning.tv is the website, but the YouTube link is youtube.com/triggerwarningTV. youtube.com/triggerwarningTV. Always funny, always interesting, always provocative. Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth. I recommend you check them out. Hi to James Lupo. How you doing, James? Or James sent me some very interesting information the other day. Thank you for that. Mate, I appreciate that. He says, Richie, today's COVID-19 deaths recorded amount to a statistic of 428, which includes natural causes with a positive test. However, comparing this to a British Heart Foundation produced advice as shown below, death from a heart condition is now a higher risk than COVID-19. Thanks, James. I'm retweeting that so that people can see it for themselves. Cheers, mate. Really appreciate that. Okay, let's move on. Hi to Ian McKee. Ian says, Richie, we will be avatars standing next to other avatars at the football stadium whilst in our living room, says Ian. Yeah, this is not fanciful, wild-eyed theorising about where we're going. This is where we're going. The prototypes of this, of these devices are not only ready, but they're working. They're working. The latest virtual reality headsets that can be picked up for $300 or $400 from Samsung stores or Apple stores, I haven't seen them. But my friends, one of my friends, Nigel, who's in Waterford, his son Sean uses one of these things. Not a lot, but he plays occasional games on them. And Nigel tells me when you put this thing on, it is transformative. Your reality changes. Instantly, you are there. You believe you're there. Everything about what's going on tells you you are there. And I remember some years ago, I did a show with David Icke. And I said, what have you got against the virtual reality headset revolution? And David Icke said to me, and it was pretty smart, I thought. No pun intended. It was pretty clever. He said, if the world is a hologram, if the universe is holographic in nature, and it exists only because we have downloaded it, because we believe it, but it isn't real, we are already then, as infinite awareness, we are already one step away from reality, because the world around us isn't reality, David Icke believes passionately. And not because he told me. I was reading theories about the holographic universe long before I ever read David Icke. Years ago, avid reader as I am. And I often lay awake at night thinking, it makes sense to me. Long before The Matrix was a movie. And I thought, yeah, it makes sense to me that. So David used to say, we're already one step away from seeing what we really are or what reality is. The virtual universe that we are building, transhumanism, the virtual reality headsets and all of that, the chips, will take us one step further away again from what it is we really are. That's the agenda, he would say to me. The agenda wants us to constantly be pushed further away from understanding what it is we are and why we are here. They're amazing, these things. Liz tells me it's like Ready Player One, Richie. I was watching today for research, because the film is crap. Who wants a world like that, says Liz. Well, Liz, I went to see that film with Caroline, and we saw it in 3D, and it was fairly mind-blowing. It wasn't the best film of all time, I'll give you that, Liz. But, yeah. Again, you looked at it and you thought, yes, this is where we're going, you know. So there you go. Right. 25 minutes past six. I'll take my leave of you now shortly. Again, thanks for putting up with this today. I had a crazy day, external day, lots to do. Didn't spend any time really preparing this programme. Couldn't really. It was circumstances beyond my control. But I have to say, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed sitting with you and playing a few tunes. Hi to Tiger, who says, Richie, wouldn't it be better to use the description physical distancing instead of social distancing? Is normalizing reduced social interaction part of this scam? Tiger, you would have to say yes. Of course it is. Because one of the things they keep repeating over and over again, we've got to remember the language is hugely important. Jean Ann is big into this. She understands this, my friend Jean Ann, whom you know all about. The language and the repetitive nature of it. When all of a sudden lots of different people simultaneously begin to say the same thing or use the same stock phrases. Be alert. Something is going on. So new normal. New normal, new normal, new normal, new normal. And of course, no return. No return, no return, no return, no return. That's where they want us. Now I'm going to leave you stewing a little bit. I'm going to leave you pissed off. Because I told you at the beginning of the programme that the daily government COVID-19 briefing was today being given by Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, I believe, Shapps. And that's where they update the nation on what's happening with the virus and the fight against the virus. Right? Then they are given questions virtually because the journalists are not physically there. They ask their questions via video link, right? Right, okay, you get that, right? Now, today, damning statistics were released that show basically that hardly anybody in the country has got coronavirus or is likely to get it. One in 400 people likely to have coronavirus right now. Shocking. I'm going to leave you pissed off with this as I wish you a happy weekend. Not a single fucking reporter has asked either Grant Shapps or one of the goons appearing with him, the medical goons, to comment on the news that nobody is really getting coronavirus. Not a whisper from the media today. The media has been questioning Shapps about the testing kits and the track and trace app and all the rest of it. Nobody has said, isn't this a load of bollocks, Secretary of State, with the news that so few people in the country have the virus? Not a dicky bird. We mentioned Roy Orbison. Going out with this from the great Roy Orbison. You have a fantastic weekend. Look after yourselves and one another. Thanks for being with me today. I will be with you on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. UK time. For Sunday View, have a fantastic weekend. Bye now.